The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen." Great joy. That is what the angel preached. But perhaps you have all the joy you need, and thus can't be bothered with this angel's sermon. Perhaps you have all the joy you need in working untold hours, putting up with God knows what, for a few experiences that supposedly make it all worthwhile. Vacations that sadly come to an end. Disneyland, but only for a day. Christmas itself, which is here and then gone. In the end, none of it really remains, only the memories, and even those fade away. Perhaps instead you find all the joy you need elsewhere, in the pursuit of things that do remain, like clothing that always fits and never goes out of style, gadgets that never become obsolete, a house that will certainly never be sold to pay for your nursing home. Perhaps you have all the joy you need in simply being a collector of things that perish, a good and faithful consumer until the day you die. Or maybe you have all the joy you need working hard, building a life and a legacy for yourself. There's nothing more fulfilling than the daily grind, am I right? Work so that you can eat, so that you can work, so that you can eat, so that you can work, and on it goes until it doesn't. One day you'll retire and be forgotten, or die and be forgotten. What joy! Or what could be more joyful than putting your heart and soul into building a life and a family, a career, artistic mastery, expertise, character, holiness, relationships, only to have it all fall apart? Or to watch as old age slowly pries it from your fingers, as death takes it all away? What joy there is in living lives that don't really matter, in a universe that's billions of light years wide, the whole of human history itself is infinitesimally small and utterly insignificant. Among the billions and billions of people, past, present, and future, you and I are like particles of dust. But even that's too much. Dust remains. We do not. We are but vapor, the scriptures say, here today and gone tomorrow. All your love, all your wisdom, all your sufferings, all your memories, all your hopes, all your experiences cease and are lost forever in the cosmos. You remember no more, as if you never were. My friends, with joys like these, who needs sorrows? All we need for an existential crisis is a moment of honesty. Of course, what we call crisis is but a brief episode of sanity, a moment of reality. As Eliot said, mankind cannot bear much reality. Indeed, that's why we call it a crisis, and find it so uncomfortable and dysfunctional that we fly back to our dreams, back to our insanity, and back to our supposed joy. Instead, let us be awake and sane and hear the angel's sermon that tells of a very different kind of joy. Joy as different as heaven is from earth. Indeed, it is the joy of heaven come to earth. Unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What is it to be without the Lord? It is to dwell in utter darkness. It is to be lost in the cosmos. It is to be outside, always outside, our destiny simply to cease and be forgotten, a truth so obvious even an atheist would agree. Pascal, who is certainly no atheist, wrote, "When I consider the brief span of my life, absorbed into the eternity which comes before and after, as the remembrance of a guest that tarrieth but a day, the small space I occupy and which I see, swallowed up in the infinite immensity, I take fright. Fear not, the angel says, unto you is born a Savior. To those who dwell in darkness, He is the light. To those who are lost, He is the way. To those who are outside, He is the door. And yet, precisely because He comes as light, as way, as door, as Savior, He may be rejected. Rejected by those who don't see any need for a Savior, as sanity is rejected by the insane. The great prophets of insanity in our own day are those who preach happiness and joy without a Savior. That you're okay, the world's okay, everything's going to be okay. So don't worry, be happy. You're going to be sucked into the abyss forever, but smile. The religion of a culture is sometimes reflected in the greeting ritual. Shalom, or the Lord be with you, for example. What is our greeting ritual? How are you today? Fine, thanks. Dad died. Mom just got diagnosed with cancer. My marriage is falling apart. The kids hate school. The car is leaking oil. Don't even ask about work. And most days I'm not even sure who I am anymore. But hey, I'm doing fine. In fact, I'm great. Really. Look at my Facebook page. The false prophets of joy and happiness have somehow managed to teach us that this lie constitutes mental and spiritual health. In fact, they've taught us insanity. That we are well when we aren't. That we have no need of a physician when we do. There's only one question needed to tell. If in the depths of your being, if in the depths of your soul, you are sane or insane. Here it is. Are you well? In the sermon widely regarded as the most important Jesus ever preached, it's precisely our sense of wellness and happiness and joy that he attacks first in the very opening lines. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not the rich in spirit, not the well in spirit, but the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, not those who are happy, not those who are filled with faux joy, but those who mourn. Those who are poor in spirit know the truth about themselves. Those who mourn know the truth about existence. Are you well? Jesus said that he came not for the well, but only for the sick. Only those who acknowledge sickness will seek a physician. This is precisely what Christianity is. The truth instead of lies. The end of denial. The acknowledgement of what simply is. We are all poor in spirit, sinful and messed up all the way down to the very depths of our souls. And this world is a place of futility. And our short lives here are lived out under the shadow of death. We weep for ourselves, for others, for the broken lives and pain all around us. And if this is how God has given the world over to be, He must indeed be fearfully angry and greatly displeased. What else could we conclude? There's nothing left but to fear. Fear not, says the angel, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the great joy of which the angel speaks. A Savior, a light, a way, a door, a physician of the soul. Unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord meaning God. Born meaning a human being. Unspeakable mystery. God has become man. And that is the start of all things new. The little infant lying in the manger is like a singularity from which a new cosmos will burst forth. A word that draws all to itself, that contains all, from which all bursts forth in newness. He is the Alpha and Omega, but also the Omega and Alpha. And the essence of this new creation that he brings is reversal. In the words of St. Paul, "For your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." In the words of Athanasius, "He became what we are, that we might become what he is." Behold, Jesus says, "I make all things new." He speaks these words of the cosmos, but he also speaks these words of you. He has become as you are, so that you may become as he is. The Son of God has become a man, so that we men might become sons of God. And if sons of God, then we are a new creation. And we can begin to see the new creation breaking in and breaking forth all around us. Nowhere do we see this more clearly than when Jesus bursts forth from the grave, reversing death to life. All things are new to those who are new. Instead of hoarding goods and desperately clinging to experiences and grasping hold of the last scraps and shreds of this life, instead we see all things as gifts from our Heavenly Father to be received and shared. It takes faith to see it, but there is indeed no scarcity, no lack of time, for death has been reversed. We have all eternity and all things. Our lives here, our labors and works, are no longer futile or lost. These follow us, the scriptures say, echoing for all eternity. We are gladly forgotten by this world, that we might be known and remembered by our Lord, now and forever. We were indeed dead in our trespasses and sins, but he has made us eternally alive. Our lives were without meaning, but now the word, the meaning, has become flesh. How would it be to learn that all of the things you're suffering right now, that all of the difficulties in your life are but temporary in the great scope of all things, but the blink of an eye? Indeed, that these present sufferings and difficulties are working for you a far greater glory to come. How would that be? Would that not be great joy indeed? And that is what this child means. As the angel said, "The coming of God as man is great joy, for everything is changed, everything is made new." And this is the essence of Christmas. Whether you picture a wooden manger and a wooden cross, or a stone manger and a stone tomb, his birth and his death are one reality. He was born of Mary so that you might be born of God. He was crucified and condemned, and now you have been declared innocent. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Are you meaningless? None other than God himself has shed his blood for you. What is there in all the heavens and all the earth that may boast as you? Your sins have been atoned for. Your death has been reversed by the very blood of God. See his head lying in a manger, wreathed with hay. See his head bowed on the cross, wreathed with thorns. The blood that drips from those thorns is for you. There is no greater love than his. Do not fear, only believe. I bring you good news of great joy this Christmas night. He is come. He is making all things new. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.